It's Monday, April 27th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast here in the last week of April. Glad to have you here. I want to let you know that there will be no daily audio stash this Friday, May 1st. I will be attending a seminar and be unable to post or record the stash for you, so think of it as a three-day weekend, I guess. Also, want to give a shout out to lots of Normal chapters out there that are doing some great work. Arizona for Normal sent in some of their media coverage from their march. And of course, Philly Normal had their 420 Freedom Forum in association with Normal, New Jersey. We've got some audio from that coming up later on the stash. And Oregon Normal has some news in today's hemp headlines that is quite good to hear. I also want to let people know about the new Normal chapters that are developing around the country. Charlotte Normal in South Carolina, Normal Connecticut is up and online, Normal of South Florida, Normal of Georgia is online, and we're trying to get some chapters started in Kentucky, Duluth, Minnesota, Nebraska, and New Hampshire, and I've been getting lots of emails and calls from people about that. Keep those letters, emails, and phone calls coming. We're going to get a Normal chapter in all 50 states. Two or three per state, if I have my way. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got your hemp headlines featuring new legislation passed in Florida, based off the Rachel Hoffman case, the Iowa Pharmacy Board being ordered to investigate medical use of marijuana, the news from Oregon of a terrible medical marijuana bill that was stymied in committee, and some more news from Oregon, a proclamation from the mayor of Eugene, Oregon, the home of the University of Oregon, declaring Medical Marijuana Week in Eugene. We've also got a great tune for Message Monday in our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, a song called Trees by a group called Bonfire, which seems to go together when you think about it. And we're going to have a special audio segment, like I mentioned earlier. Major Neil Franklin from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition spoke last week at the 420 Freedom Forum, sponsored by Philly Normal and Normal, New Jersey. Nick B was the recording engineer on this project, and big thanks to Chris Goldstein, the founder of the Daily Audio Stash, for bringing this audio to the show. It's a 24-minute talk from Major Franklin, so that'll be both of our interview segments for today, that speech that was live last Monday. And don't forget, this Saturday is the Global Marijuana March. Check out globalmarijuanamarch.org for one of the 248 cities worldwide near you where this march will be taking place. Now, some places just do a march. Some places do a rally. Places like here in Portland, Oregon, we do a whole day of bands and speakers and festival atmosphere. So, again, check out globalmarijuanamarch.org and get involved. All this internet advocacy and emails and websites are one thing, but to get the people in the streets is what really starts to change minds. I can't overemphasize how important this is. And you'll get all of the backing you need, all of the research you need to make your point right here at your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Florida House passes Rachel's Law to protect police informants. From TampaBay.com. The House just unanimously approved a bill that would create greater safeguards for police informants nearly a year after the death of Florida State University grad Rachel Hoffman. Representative Peter Nair, Republican from Tarpon Springs, the bill's sponsor, said, quote, "Depending on your age, Rachel could have been your sister and Rachel could have been your daughter. Rachel Hoffman's death was unnecessary and unneeded," end quote. But the bill, House Bill 271, has lost some of its force after law enforcement groups complained provisions would hurt the widespread use of informants. Hoffman's parents, who watched from the House gallery, say they will fight to strengthen the legislation next year. Among their wishes, that people in drug treatment programs not be used as informants. Hoffman agreed last April to become a police informer after officers found marijuana and ecstasy in her Tallahassee apartment. The 23-year-old was found dead of gunshots on May 9th after police gave her $13,000 to buy 1,500 ecstasy pills, cocaine, and a gun from suspected drug dealers. Two men have been arrested. Rachel Hoffman was a bright young Florida State University graduate, arrested for possession, and subsequently forced into a drug deal by the Tallahassee police, who unintentionally arranged her brutal murder. Just a reminder for our readers and listeners that on issues related to marijuana, police are not your protector. They are your oppressor. As crazy as this sounds, that is exactly what police did. They arranged for her to meet two known violent criminals, left her completely alone with them, the criminals killed her, and now she's dead. No charges have been filed against any of the law enforcement officers that unintentionally arranged her murder. If you are ever asked, compelled, or ordered to participate in an undercover narcotics operation as the result of a deal you've made with the DA, you need to understand that they do not have your best interest in mind. Their only concern is the bust above and beyond your safety. Your concern should be your safety above everything else. Rachel Hoffman would still be alive today and would likely be finishing her culinary school this spring if she would have said no to being a narc. Iowa Pharmacy Board must study whether marijuana has accepted medical use. From the Des Moines Register. A Polk County judge ruled Thursday that the Iowa Pharmacy Board must examine whether marijuana has an accepted medical use, a decision some said could unfreeze debate on the drug's use for medical purposes in Iowa. The ruling, handed down by Polk County District Judge Joel D. Novak, would not legalize marijuana for medical purposes in the state. Instead, it forces the Pharmacy Board to consider whether it is properly classified as a Schedule I controlled substance under Iowa law. Four petitioners asked the board to review the drug's classification last summer. The board ruled in October that the petitioners had to prove that the drug lacked a high potential for abuse before it would be reclassified. The American Civil Liberties Union of Iowa appealed the decision. must examine whether marijuana has an accepted medical use? Only one? Do the opinions of 13 states count? This is like trying to determine whether the guy with one leg is actually disabled. Something that happened to a friend of mine. He just took off his prosthetic and set it on the counter at the DMV and asked, "What do you think?" Oregon Normal and medical marijuana activists kill restrictive Oregon Senate Bill 388. After 8 attempts at amendment, Senate Bill 388, submitted on behalf of the Stormy Ray Cardholders Foundation and lobbied for heavily by law enforcement, has not been moved out of its committee by today's deadline, effectively killing it for the 2009 Oregon legislative session. Oregon Normal's executive director and chief lobbyist, Madeline Martinez, received the following email from the legislative assistant for the chairman of the committee. After consultation with other members of the Senate Human Services Committee this morning, Senator Morissette decided not to move SB 388 out of committee, effectively killing the bill for this session. He said the bill, or some variation, could be brought back for further consideration if the legislature meets, as expected, next February. Despite everyone's best efforts and multiple amendment attempts, the bill was still meeting strong opposition from both patients and law enforcement. Sometimes that's an indication of a successful bill, but it was clear that there was still too much work to be done on this one. The reason the bill met so much opposition is that it was based on the faulty premise that the OMMP is subject to widespread abuse, which was disproved in the Gold Standard report by Oregon Normal, and motivated by moral, not practical issues. The medical marijuana law, quote, "says something about the permissiveness in this state," end quote, said the business lobbyist Dan Harmon. Thanks to people's donation of time and effort to Oregon Normal, as well as an unprecedented alliance of other Oregon medical marijuana groups like Voter Power, Oregon Green Free, and Mothers Against Misuse and Abuse, all standing together in opposition to this horrible bill, registered patients, caregivers, and growers' rights have been protected as follows. Cardholders will still be able to possess up to 24 ounces of hashish, as it is still a preparation of the 24 ounces of cannabis a patient may legally possess. SB 388 sought to create a hash limit to 2 ounces, which would have desperately harmed the patients who cannot use other forms of cannabis. Also, language to limit edible marijuana preparations to a 4-month supply were killed, a vague wording that caused so much trouble with Washington's law. Growers may still possess 24 ounces of cannabis for each patient they are growing for. SB 388 sought to set a firm 24-ounce limit regardless of the number of patients cared for, which would have immediately reduced the supply of medicine to patients in at least 20% of the medical marijuana grow sites. The OMMP will not be forced to print up a medical marijuana manual, and cardholders will not be subject to some future punishment based on signing for that manual. SB 388 sought to create such a manual at considerable cost, since they'd also have to print it in Braille, and require cardholders to sign an agreement binding them to understanding of the manual. Cardholders already signed paperwork with DHS to obey the medical marijuana law. This would have been unnecessary and simply a tool for law enforcement to further punish patients slightly out of compliance with the law. And growers will not be subject to government inspections by DHS and subject to binding arbitration by the department when there are disagreements between grower and patient. This change would have severely curtailed the number of people willing to grow marijuana for patients, knowing that government inspectors could drop by any time and would forward any out-of-compliance grows straight to law enforcement. Your dollars and your voice made a difference. Thank you for supporting Oregon Normal. Office of the Mayor, City of Eugene, Oregon, Proclamation. Whereas, in November 1998, Oregon voters passed into law the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, allowing Oregonians suffering from debilitating medical conditions to use marijuana as medicine. Currently, nearly 25,000 patients are enrolled, and over 2,900 doctors have provided recommendations for patients' utilization of medical marijuana, and Whereas 13 states have passed laws allowing for chronically and seriously ill patients to use cannabis with the approval of their physicians, and whereas on September 6, 1988, Drug Enforcement Administration's own administrative law judge, Francis L. Young, ruled that, quote, marijuana in its natural form is one of the safest therapeutically active substances known, end quote. And whereas there are over 17,000 published scientific studies on the therapeutic values of cannabis and cannabinoids in the National Library of Medicine, and there are over 2,600 patents filed for the medical use of cannabinoids in the United States Patent Office, and whereas preclinical and clinical trials indicate that cannabinoids are useful in controlling Alzheimer's disease, cancer, chronic pain, diabetes, GI disorders, hepatitis C, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, and sleep apnea, and whereas marijuana has a history of thousands of years of safe use without any recorded deaths attributed to its use, and all citizens deserve to know the truth about cannabis, now, therefore, I, Kitty Piercy, Mayor of the City of Eugene, Oregon, do hereby proclaim the week of April 30th, 2009 to May 6th, 2009 as Medical Marijuana Awareness Week in the City of Eugene, and encourage all citizens to join in this observance. This is a huge public relations win for our chapter in Eugene, Willamette Valley Normal. This is the kind of idea normal chapters around the country in medical marijuana states should try. When we can turn and say the mayors of X, Y, and Z all recognized and celebrated medical marijuana to the legislators at the State House, it helps us convince them that this is truly a mainstream issue and they needn't fear losing their seat in the next election for supporting medical marijuana.
Well, I smoke some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in norm. Norm to the L.org, normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. For Message Monday, we listen to Bonfire, entrance of 2007's Marijuana Music Awards, with their song, Trees. The band's style is unique, different, and unlike anything you've heard before. With an organic, soulful sound that explores consciousness, their passion comes alive in their music. Bonfire combine funk, rock, and jazz with a laid-back vibe. They have gained several award nominations over the years for their diversity and many fans. To keep up with the latest on Bonfire, check out myspace.com/ZUHG. Enjoy Monday's Music with a Message. It's Bonfire with Trees.
Begins a journey, starts in the the cops will say with them evil ways. To each his own, his own two receipts. And I grab his ragamuffin microphone and start to preach about cannabis sativa. I'll never leave ya, I'll always trim ya and never mistreat ya. Had to my soul, yes I smoke another bowl, but I'm always straight out, never out of control. And when will the government to realize that Prop 215 needs to be illegalized? Our chairs are filling up with no vacancy. Too many stoners locked up wrongfully. So how you gonna tell me that smoking weed is wrong when half a police force probably on their own bong? If you like me and think this is wrong, then take a stand. Help me sing the song. But can you rearrange the crazy things that shall go insane? That hip hop music's always to my brain. Stay the positive, I let that shit slide. In my life, I can only strive. I keep my head up, don't trip about the negative things. We all got them positive for our dreams. I wake up and smoke a bowl. Life stress will take a toll. Your mind, body, and soul, you were in control. You only ones that can manifest your destiny. Your destiny. So basically to focus on your individuality. Don't let the Babylon stop your originality. We all hold the key for humanity. We all hold the key for humanity. Much value crop. Not trying to boast, but the Cali herb is one of the most. Has been seen it from a coast to coast. There must be something growing in our soil. The Cali green birds grow tall like soldiers. Heavy than boulders, stronger than a can of Folgers. You smart, do what I told you and move back to California.
I'm a normal guy. I like the outdoors. I work a 9-to-5. And I use marijuana recreationally and responsibly in the privacy of my own home. Recently, I became one of the 20 million Americans who have been arrested for a marijuana-related offense. Now I face jail time and my future is in jeopardy. But couldn't police resources have been spent more wisely? After all, 90% of all marijuana-related arrests are for simple possession. Is this normal?
Last week, Philly Normal and Normal, New Jersey combined to hold the 420 Freedom Forum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This forum was attended by the media, members of the public, who all came to see the speeches by various members of the law reform community there in the New Jersey-Philadelphia area. This week on the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we'll be bringing you some of the speeches from that Freedom Forum. We began last week on Thursday with Georgie DeMaria, Miss New Jersey 2006, who's speaking out in favor of medical marijuana in New Jersey. Today we're going to bring you Major Neil Franklin from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, speaking out against, well, prohibition, of course.
And joining us today is someone taking a platform on medical marijuana for the first time. She's appeared in the press of Atlantic City this week talking about this new platform. And here today at our event, our Normal Freedom Forum, Georgie is going to be really making medical marijuana her issue moving forward here. The Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act in New Jersey passed the state Senate on February 23rd. It's halfway through the legislative process, but it still has to make this critical next step, which is to actually get through the Assembly Health Committee and then through the full Assembly. So we're really happy to have Miss New Jersey 2006 Georgie DeMaria. Welcome on out, Georgie.
Thanks, Chris. Welcome, everyone. Happy holidays. It's wonderful to see so much support. Thank you so very much for coming out to lovely Philadelphia to join us at Kirby Hall at the National Constitution Center for our 420 Freedom Forum. I'm going to kick off the event by joining us is Neil Franklin. He joins us from the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Please welcome Neil.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am a member of LEAP, which is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And before I just give you a little bit about me, I'm going to tell you a little bit about LEAP. LEAP is an organization of law enforcement officials. When I say law enforcement, they could be current or retired. And they could be either police, local, state, federal, prosecutors, former judges, anyone that has played a role, corrections, in our law enforcement, community throughout the United States. But not just the United States, we've also gone international. So we're a little over 15,000 members now, currently. We're in over 80 countries. So we do a lot in Australia, we do a lot in the UK, Canada, and other countries. About me, I have over 32 years of law enforcement experience. I am currently in law enforcement. 1999, I retired from the Maryland State Police. When I retired, I was the commander of their training division. But I spent most of my time in the Maryland State Police either in narcotics enforcement or criminal enforcement. From being a narc on the street all the way up to running half the state as it relates to criminal and drug enforcement. I then went to Baltimore. I was recruited by the Baltimore Commissioner to command, not just command, but to restructure their training department. And I went there in 2000 and stayed there for about roughly 4 years. And got to see Baltimore from a different perspective. You see, I was born and raised in Baltimore. You guys familiar with The Wire? The HBO series The Wire? Let me tell you about The Wire, buddy. True to form, what you see in that show is on point. It is on point, except for the community of Amsterdam. That was the only thing that was a little off. I'm currently with a Maryland State Police agency, and hopefully I'll be employed tomorrow as well when I return. You see that, and I kind of joke about that, but see that is an issue for a lot of law enforcement officers. Now when you see in the news law enforcement officials, and I say officials, and when I say officials standing here before you today, I'm talking about the high-ranking folks. I'm not talking about the guys and the ladies on the street where the work is being done. And they're talking about how we can't legalize this, how we can't legalize that, and so on and so forth. It's either one or two reasons. Either they're out of touch, which many are, or they're protecting their jobs. I guess there may be a third is, well, what's also being out of touch with if they don't get it, and many apparently don't get it. Since the 70s, we've had more than a 500% incarceration rate as relates to our folks in prison. That equates to more than 2.2 million folks. It's a lot of people. Prisons are big business in this country, and it's unfortunate. Most of what I talk to you here about today, you see, we have people who will be here from the medical profession. That's I know nothing about the medical profession other than when I go to the doctor and pay my copay. My expertise is on the front lines dealing with the war on drugs. It is those officers who are out there every day dealing with this issue. And marijuana is what we make majority of our arrests for. Marijuana takes up more of our time than any other drug that's out there. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that time as we move forward. I'm not one who's really big on statistics because as I get a little bit further into my presentation, you're going to hear me talk about some things that are personal to me. And I like to talk about things from different perspectives, but here are just a couple of numbers. You know, disparity is an issue. When I say disparity, when talking about incarceration, we're talking about minorities in this country being affected by the war on drugs. And I mentioned 2.2 million in prison. 900,000 plus are African Americans. You know, I'm really upset that African Americans and members of other minority populations in this country are not speaking out more on this issue. I'm appalled at that. Because it is our policies, our failed policies as it relates to the war on drugs, directly related to that we have this issue of disparity. One in six black men were jailed as of 2001. That's the rate, one in six. If it continues, young black males who are born today will have a one in three chance of going to jail. That's extremely high. Here's some statistics as relates to states. Still dealing with disparity. In Iowa, 13.6 to 1. 13.6 to 1, blacks will go to jail compared to whites. On the bottom end, that's the high end, on the bottom end, it's 1.9 to 1, and that's in Hawaii. We're in Pennsylvania. Try 9.2. In this state, 9.2 to 1. Now, blacks make up 14% of the population in this country. 51% of the drug convictions are African Americans. Chew on that for a bit. Marijuana. Drug abuse violations, marijuana is still number one for the arrests in this country. And I'm still trying to figure that out because prescription drugs, alcohol, I mean, you just name it, all that stuff that is somewhat legal, it's all worse than marijuana. All worse than marijuana. Whew. 2007, close to 2 million marijuana arrests. Unbelievable. In 1987, 7.4% of all arrests were marijuana related. Not today. In 2007, it's 13%. So it's on the rise. We're really winning this war on drugs, I tell you. Let me talk a little bit about law enforcement. This is a huge drain on your law enforcement community. It's a huge drain. Financially, of course it is. 3 to 5 times in growth since 1980 in just about every law enforcement agency in this country, 3 to 5 times of growth as it relates to the money that we spend in drug enforcement. Street officers, when you ask them about this situation, they will tell you, well, depends on, is this on or off the record? That's the first thing they'll ask you. If it's on a record, hey, we come out here and do what we have to do, what we're told to do. You know, people are violating the law, so we enforce it. But off the record, they'll tell you a number of things. Number one, they're wasting their time. They're not just wasting their time. They're putting their lives on the line. But see, when we talk about deaths as it relates to this game, this war on drugs, the drug wars, most people initially think about the people who are involved in the game. You know, the drug dealers, the addicts who are out there trying to get their fix every day. But what about the civilians? What about the as they put it, the good people who are out there? What about the innocent people who are out there? Well, first of all, the people in the game, you know, a life is a life. A life is a life. Period. But let's talk about could you change the slide? Let's talk about the innocent people. In Baltimore, it was actually October 3rd of 2002. This is six members of the Dawson family. The father is not pictured here, and that's the house that they lived in. Because of our failed policies and failing to address the war on drugs appropriately, failing to address our drug abuse problem in this country appropriately, the mother, top left, Angela, was trying to do something to rid her community of the violence and the drug dealing going on in her community. They were burned out of their home by the drug dealer, but not just burnt out, they died. Every member of that family died. Unnecessarily, because of our policies in this country. It goes beyond that. I mentioned briefly about the risk that police put themselves in. They are succumbed to great harm every single day as they go try to clear corners of drug dealers. Drug dealers who do not have to be on those corners. If we were to just change our policies in this country and combat this issue in a proper way. It is a drug abuse issue. It is a medical issue. It is not a criminal issue. Because we have failed to change our policies, we have created two issues in this country. We've always had a drug abuse problem in this country. If you look at history, it's been here, and it's going to be here. But what we have done when we created this so-called war on drugs, we now created another huge issue. But this criminal issue we created is distracting from the root issue, which is drug abuse. It's taking the money, it's taking the time, it's taking the effort, it's taking lives. Show the next slide. That's Trooper Ed Totley. He was a good friend of mine. He was assassinated. He was in law enforcement for roughly 16 years. He was a member of the state police. He was probably the best narcotics agent that the state police ever had. And we probably left him in narcotics a little bit too long because he had gotten extremely comfortable, not to say that in a negative way. Ed had worked a number of times for me when I was one of the commanders in the Maryland State Police for drug enforcement. And when I retired, we had a conversation shortly after where he was working a case. He was working a mid-level drug dealer in the Washington, D.C. area in Tacoma Park, and he was going to make his final purchase from this guy. And he was like, yeah, I'm okay. I got this, you know, and we're going to do what we're told. You know, we're soldiers. We're going to do what we're supposed to do, enforce the law, go out there, and that's what he had done majority of his career. He was very good at it. Now, he was on the FBI task force when this occurred. And late one night on October 30th, 2000, I got a call in the middle of the night. And he told me Ed had been shot. Point blank range by the dealer he was trying to make that final purchase from. He left behind a wife and three kids. That was the real turn for me. That was it. That's when I joined LEAP. That's when I found LEAP. That's when I reached out and joined LEAP. Because we have people, not just law enforcement. We have families. Yes, we have the people in the game, but we have many people dying as a result of this issue. We're going about it the wrong way, folks. So what do we need to do? Right now, the drugs that are out there on the street, to include marijuana, are completely unregulated. Completely unregulated. There are no standards to go by. Any young person will tell you that if they have to get alcohol or they have to get marijuana or they have to get cocaine or heroin, it's much easier to get an illegal drug than it is a legal drug because legal drugs are regulated. Still accessible, but much more difficult to obtain for a young person. We've got to change that. We've got to force a change in our policies. Now, this is interesting. This past Thursday, I was on CNN doing a debate with Asa Hutchinson in American Morning. And he says that the American people are totally against any kind of change in this direction. He says referendum after referendum have failed, and it's just not what the American people want to do. It's too dangerous to legalize these drugs. I just talked to you about some of the dangers of illegal drugs. But the interesting part, that very morning, CNN was doing a poll of its viewers. And I mentioned to Asa, I said, you know, 93% of the people who responded to this poll said that marijuana should be legalized. Not just for medical use, but legalize, period. 93% of those people who responded. Go ahead, clap. I think that's a pretty strong statement, but it even went on. 48% of those people said all drugs should be legalized. And you regulate it. You regulate it. You apply standards because right now there's no regulations. Drug dealer can sell to whoever they want to, in any neighborhood they want to, at any time they want to. We've got to apply standards. In closing, and you can move to the last slide, please. We have not learned from history. In the 1920s, we had alcohol prohibition. And though it was a noble cause at first with the 18th Amendment, it failed. It failed to work because it gave birth to the likes of Al Capone. We find ourselves today in a similar situation. I, for one, believe that alcohol is much worse than marijuana. Okay? We're almost four decades now. Took 13 years in the 1920s. I thought we were getting smarter as we went along in the years. Apparently not. Close to 40 years, and we're still doing this. It's getting worse. More drugs are coming into the country. They've increased by metric tons. The costs have gone down. That means the availability is quite high. You can't keep drugs out of prisons. How are you going to keep them out of your backyard? Regulation is the key. Of that 93%, that's kind of reflective of the folks that we have in this auditorium today. So I ask, are you pushing hard enough? Because if there are 100 people in this room, 93 of you think marijuana should be legal. And if there are any viewers anywhere else, if this thing is being recorded, those that see this, 93%, 93 out of 100 think that marijuana should be legalized. So what are you doing? Are you ready to end it? Are you writing letters? Are you paying visits to your state representatives, your federal representatives? Are you a member of any organization who is moving in that direction? If not, you need to change. You need to do what you need to do. Write the letters, make the phone calls, become a member, if not a member of LEAP, a member of NORMAL, and there are many other organizations out there that are doing the right thing. Yes, we need the money as a country, but it's more important than that. It's about saving lives. On the side of the car, I don't know if you can see it, but it says, "Save our children." They knew it back then. And I believe it was Will Rogers that said, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Thank you.
Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is an incredible group of individuals out there, full of folks like Neil Franklin, who speak out against prohibition all around the country. Neil was kind enough to come up from Maryland for us today, and other LEAP speakers you're going to see out there pretty frequently, including the former police chief of Seattle, Norm Stamper. The current police chief of Seattle is in the confirmation process of becoming our new drug czar, is how they call it, the director of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. A very interesting thing about Chief Kerlikowske is that in Seattle they passed I-75 a few years ago, and that essentially decriminalized and made marijuana a low priority in the city of Seattle. In Seattle, each year they have something called Hemp Fest. It is the largest marijuana reform rally in the country. You will find about 200,000 people gathered in Myrtle Edwards Park, I'm sorry. And yes, it's a great event, but do you know how many marijuana arrests there were at a gathering of 200,000 enthusiastic marijuana consumers? Zero. That's how many arrests there were in Seattle. So if you're wondering about what can happen with a change in the law, I think looking at Seattle is a really good look. And we're interested to see if Mr. Kerlikowske goes through his confirmation hearings very soon. So, again, thank you, Neil Franklin and Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Coming up next for us.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder to check out the blog at stash.normal.org for all the stories we didn't have time to get to today. For example, great story up there on Portugal, the country, and its success with drug decriminalization, and some reefer madness from the state of New York, where you can pick up our new Normal game, Reefer Madness Bingo. Talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Also, a look at the NFL draft and the realization that the use of marijuana in a player's college past is no longer a barrier to them going in the first or second round of the NFL draft. What do you know? After the past two Super Bowls featured winning touchdown catches from stoners, maybe they think it's a performance-enhancing drug. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We'll see you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.